Today we are starting Big Faith. I'm so excited about this series. I mentioned that earlier in the service. We're going to be landing in Matthew chapter 8. If you have a church Bible, it's page 553, Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read 10 verses from that passage of Scripture. And we want to begin today in Big Faith. I want you to imagine with me, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever today, it doesn't matter. I want you to imagine with me for just a moment. Maybe even close your eyes. What if God really exists? And what if you had perfect faith in Him? Imagine with me. What if you were absolutely confident God was with you in every single step you take? What if you were so confident that everything that came your way was part of God's divine plan for your life, and you knew someday you would look back and see just how all of this stuff fits together? Imagine what your stress level might be like. Imagine what your fear level might be like. Be non-existent, wouldn't it? What if you were so confident God really had your best interest in mind when He gave us His laws and principles to live by? What if, when faced with temptation, instead of going headlong into it, you immediately went into the mode of, God, I trust you to get me through this. Then you simply leaned hard into God and walked away from every temptation without falling. If we lived with the confidence, absolutely knowing for sure God was with us, if we lived with a confidence, absolutely knowing for sure God was for us, if we lived with the confidence, absolutely knowing for sure God was working through us, do you think our responses to everything would be different? Job losses, sicknesses, conflict, addictions, emotional issues, everything would be different, wouldn't it? Every once in a while, I meet a Christian who has fully embraced this kind of faith. In fact, one of my mentors, early on in the Christian faith, you've probably heard me talk about him, Pastor Nigerian, he had this kind of perfect faith. It was unbelievable faith. And they are compelling people. Pastor Nigerian was a compelling person. He was strong. He was confident. He was commanding. Usually, these kind of people came to the realization the hard way. Pastor Nigerian saw his entire family shot and killed right in front of his eyes in Egypt. But they're still amazing people. On the other side of that, at times they seem to be in denial maybe over something that happens and a little shaky, but over time it becomes so clear, so evident that it's their amazing faith that's making them such incredible people. Here's something Christians believe. In case you're wondering what Christians believe this morning, here's something Christians believe. Ready? Humanity's problems began when we quit trusting God. Humanity's problems really began when humanity quit trusting God. Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit, guess what? They doubted that God had their best interest in mind. You can read it right in the story. When trust is broken, the relationship was broken. And then sin followed. God has been on a quest ever since to get humans to re-engage their faith in Him. The entire Old Testament story is a story of God saying, trust me. It is interesting how God didn't give Israel the law until they saw Him work in their best interests in Egypt. Trust me was the message. The New Testament really isn't any different. Christianity is an invitation to re-enter a relationship of trust with God the Father. And He demonstrated it best at the cross, where sin was forgiven, and we were invited once again not to obey first, but to trust first. And it makes perfect sense that salvation comes by faith, not by obedience, because the door out of the relationship to begin with in Adam and Eve in the garden was doubt. They doubted first before they sinned. To re-engage in that kind of trust is to build on trust. Obedience was broken in the garden. Obedience wasn't broken in the garden. Faith was broken in the garden. Intimate relationships are not built on obedience. Intimate relationships are built on trust. Obedience can be forced. Just ask the people of Iran. Just ask the people of North Korea. Trust must be earned, not obedience. This is best illustrated in a story recorded by the Apostle Matthew in Matthew chapter 8. Look at these verses with me. When he, Jesus, that's who that's referring to, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can do this." Verse 2. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I love this part. "I am willing." So many times we pray and we say, "God, you know, if it be your will, if you want to heal me, you can." I love that Jesus said, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean." Immediately, not in 6 weeks, not after he went to the doctor, immediately he was cured. He was made clean of his leprosy. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking him for help. Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." I love this faith. Look at this. The centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He marveled and said to those following him, his disciples, those around him, "I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." This word, marveled, amazed, I put it down here because it's translated a couple of different ways, but it literally means this. Look with me. I can't pronounce that word. You probably can't either. Janet's our proofreader, and she said, "What?" And she couldn't pronounce it. Marveled, be astonished, to be extraordinarily impressed by. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? The cool thing about this is it's the only time this word is attributed to Jesus. Jesus never, ever, ever marveled at anyone's obedience. God is most honored. God receives the most glory through our living, active, death-defying, out-of-the-box faith, out-of-the-box trust. These are five, there are five ingredients, there's five dynamics that God uses to build our faith. We're going to talk about these over the next 5 weeks. This is just an overview of what we're going to be doing. The first one is practical teaching. Practical teaching. God shows us where we are through practical teaching. God shows us where we aren't in practical teaching. And the cool thing is God shows us where we need to be and how to get there. It's wholesome relationships is something God uses. It allows us to hear from God through other people. And it's amazing how other people can talk into our lives. We'll be spending an entire week on wholesome relationships. The fourth week of the series, we're going to talk about personal or spiritual disciplines. Personal disciplines, they align our heart with the heart of God. That's what they do. Finally, servant ministry. Servant ministry. It positions us to experience God's power. And then we have challenging circumstances. Challenging circumstances forces us to look in God's directions. That's what they do. We have to see God in our challenging circumstances. Here's why this is so important. If you drift from 4 into 5 without 4, you might bump into 5 and lose your faith. You could be not doing so well in these and bump into some challenging circumstances in your life and have real big problems in who you are. If you drift in your faith, avoiding temptation becomes arbitrary, doesn't it? What do you have to lose? If there's no God, who or what is going to hold you accountable? Does it matter what you do? You drift and God begins to seem so small, so distant, so insignificant. If you have no trust, look, you have no relationship. A growing relationship with Christ means growing faith, growing trust. This isn't about being good. God doesn't just want your obedience. If that's all he wanted, he could make you do whatever he wanted. He is God. He is Almighty. This is about relationship, an ever-growing relationship, an ever-growing confidence, an ever-growing trust in God. But God's ways are not our ways. And at times, God says no to seemingly good things. And our responses will be determined by our trust. And trust is something that grows over time. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be exploring these five things right here. These five things. And I pray these five things become permanently imprinted on your brain over this time. My goal isn't to know more or even do more. You might think that as a pastor. My personal goal in my spiritual life is always to trust more. In trust, the Father is honored, and our lives become better. Listen, I'm going to say something to you right now. And if you miss a word or two in this, you're going to be mad at me and send me an email this week. And I don't want that. I mean, you can send me an email if you want. But listen, pay attention carefully to these words. They're carefully chosen. Bible knowledge alone, that's the key word here. Bible knowledge alone makes you proud. Obedience alone, all by itself, makes you judgmental and legalistic. Have you ever noticed that everybody who goes on a diet all of a sudden is criticizing the eating of everybody else? I mean, come on, really? You're on a diet, I'm not, and we begin, or I'm on a diet and you're not, and I go, you're going to eat that? Really? You know how bad that is for you? And we start to get all holier than thou, right? Trust. If we combine those two things, Bible knowledge and obedience, listen, trust is what develops. And trust makes you dependent. And that's where God wants to get us. That's where God wants to take us in our faith. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, look at what Jesus said. He turns to a woman and he says, take heart, daughter. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that very moment. In Matthew 9, 29, just a few verses later, he touched their eyes, the blind men, and said, according to your, what? Your faith. Will it be done unto you? Not your obedience, not the scripture you've memorized. Those are all wonderful, but according to your faith, your trust, will it be done unto you? In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, he said, I got Matthew down here, but it's Mark. Sorry about that. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven by the faith that you have in Christ. Isn't that awesome? God is most honored. God receives the most glory through our living, active, death-defying, out-of-the-box faith and trust in him. Walking by faith means doing what you do if you were confident God was with you. And this is huge. We don't obey because we trust someone. We don't obey to We obey because we trust someone. We don't obey to gain something. We obey because we trust someone. Growing spiritually is growing in faith and confidence in God. Spiritual growth is not primarily about becoming smarter. That doesn't get you there. It may help you in some ways get there, but it doesn't get you there all by itself. More obedience doesn't get you there. Even memorizing more Bible verses doesn't get you there. It'll help you, but it won't get you there by yourself. Spiritual growth is primarily about growing in our trust, which involves learning more about who God is, knowledge and all of that, and living it out through obedience, but then applying that to your heart and drawing nearer and closer to God. Let me say it again because I messed it up before. Bible knowledge alone, that's the key word here. It helps, but all by itself, if that's all we have is knowledge, we're reading the Bible out of obligation, we're not meditating on it, we're not pondering on it, we're not allowing it to sink into our heart, right? We're just reading it through that all by itself with nothing else. It just makes us proud. We see this over and over. Obedience all by itself. It's so important to obey God. Don't miss me. But alone, you just get legalistic. If that's all you do is focused on crossing the T's and dotting the I's and doing everything perfect, you're just going to get legalistic. We see that in churches all over the place and people coming here and thinking God's beating them up and all of that. It can be sad. But trust makes you dependent upon a holy God who loves you with incredible love. So God is at work in our lives, building our faith, but we have a part in that too. And there are five ingredients, five dynamics that God uses to build our faith. I'm just going to reiterate this one more time. Practical teaching shows us where we are and where we need to go and how to get there. That's so important, right? Wholesome relationships allows us to hear God from other people or spend a whole week on that, week on each one of these. Personal spiritual disciplines to tune our hearts to God's heart. Servant ministry enables us to experience God's power. And finally, challenging circumstances. God actually does use the challenging circumstances in our lives to force us to look at God. Now, here's why this is so important. Here's why you don't want to miss this series. It affects me personally. It is so important to you personally, me as a church, and your family, in your own life. If you allow yourself to get disconnected from practical teaching, if you allow yourself to drop your disciplines or your relationships, if you allow yourself to unplug from any one of these, if you allow yourself to get too busy to serve, do you know what's at stake? It's not simply your behavior. If that's all it was, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But what's at stake is your faith, your worldview, the way you actually process life. This isn't about being a good person. That's wonderful. It's not even about being a good church person. When your faith takes a hit, listen to me, your entire worldview takes a hit. This is why it's important to parents. You want your kids to have these things, don't you? You want your kids to trust God. Here are the five things God uses in your kids' life. This is why small groups are so critical. Who's going to be there to help your kids interpret life? This is why we want great leadership in our church. You've got to teach your kids to read their Bibles. You got to teach your kids to serve. You got to teach your kids to give. You got to teach your kids to serve, all of these things. It's not about being good kids. That'll take care of itself if you get these things right. It's about having great faith. Great faith will carry you through. It's important to leaders. This is why what you do is so important. Teachers, listen to me. Make it practical. Group leaders, listen to me. Keep it relational. Pastor Matt stresses this all the time in groups ministry. You are instruments to build faith. That's what God has you doing in your position. And that is honoring to God. Imagine with me for just another minute. What would your life look like if you trusted God completely? Let me just say this again. God doesn't want your obedience. Let me repeat that. God doesn't just want your obedience. Let's add that word to it. He doesn't just want your obedience. He could force that if that's all he was after. He wants you to trust him. God wants you to trust him, and God wants you to love him. And at times, his ways are not our ways. His rules are not our rules sometimes. And in those moments, he whispers, trust me. When the going gets tough, maturity of your faith will determine your response. When the going gets tough, the maturity of your faith will be greatly determined by these five things. The issue isn't the validity of the rule. It isn't the validity of the request, what God is asking you to do. It's the motive of the rule giver. So at the cross, the Father, through the Son, said to every man, trust me, trust me. I'm all in for you. Listen, I can't fully explain why I'm doing these things. In fact, if I did explain it all to you, you couldn't understand it all. So trust me, God is saying, just trust me. Listen, it didn't make any sense whatsoever for the Israelites to paint the blood of the lamb on the top of the door and on the doorpost. Why would he have us do that? That's so silly. How's that going to save us from anything? But he said, trust me. Trust me. So many times throughout the Bible. And with Jesus, he's saying, trust me. He's been working to build our faith ever since the cross, ever since the foundation of the world. Our goal is not to get us to know more or even do more. It is to trust more deeply. When we do that, all those other things take care of themselves. And that the Father is honored. God the Father is honored. And listen, guess what else? Our lives get better. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just come before you today praising you. Thank you for this lesson. And God, I praise you for this series. And I pray that through big faith, you would, by your Spirit, transform who we are, transform what we're about, transform our lives, and help us to build our confidence, help us to build our faith, help us to build our trust in Jesus Christ. Open our hearts. And God, if there's somebody watching today, and odds are there's many people watching today that don't know that Jesus Christ is Savior of the world, or maybe they don't understand the connection. So God, I pray today that you would reveal to them their sin, because that's really where it starts. We're disconnected from God because, Lord, we've sinned against you. We've lied. We've stolen. We've committed adultery in our heart by lusting. We've hated other people, and that's the same as murder. We've coveted our neighbor's property. We haven't kept the Sabbath day. We've dishonored our parents. We've broken all the law. If we get really honest with ourselves, and the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus died on the cross to pay the death penalty. He came, never sinned, but he died. Shouldn't have died because he never sinned, but he did. And he didn't die for his sin. He died for my sin. He died for your sin, the people watching sin, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would reveal to them that incredible gift and help those people today that don't know you to put their faith and trust in Jesus, to confess their sin, and ask God to forgive them of their sin and to move into their life and, Lord, to take up residence and be Lord, God, and King. And, Lord, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And on the bottom of your screen is a link. It says, I believe. A link or a number you can text that I believe to. And if you do that, we will send you out a new believer packet this week. It has a Bible study, a new Bible in it, some resources to help you grow in your faith. Doesn't matter where you live in the United States. We don't send them overseas yet. There's just complications with that. But if you live in the United States or if you're military on some base somewhere and you have an APO address, we'll send it to you. And we would love to do that. So it'll encourage you in your faith, help you grow in your faith. So follow those links and get that information to us. We'll keep it secure. We'll never share it with anyone ever outside of the church. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you.